Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Wilsonville, Oregon. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 20, unpacking paragraph 2 today. The single paragraph starts with, It is the purpose of this book. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Denise H., the 12 Traditions, Robin D.Z., reading the text today, Sherry K.B., Linda D., and Wendy B., and we have a couple of other folks. Newcomer greeter today is Ramona A., and giving announcements today is Leslie M. Thank you so much. That brings a full roster to our service today, and look how many we do have for service each and every day. Hint, hint. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. The share ID numbers for this meeting's yesterday meeting, which would be the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, April 15th, 2019, is 12784, 12,784. And the meeting that started this morning at 7 a.m., that share ID number for April 16th, 2019 is 12787, 12,787. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Denise H. to please read the 12 steps.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, here are the 12 steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Excuse me. Okay, number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you. That was Denise H. Very much. Appreciate it. I will now ask Robin D.Z. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Robin D.Z. from South Carolina. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is to desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public medium of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to share. I pass.
Thank you, Robin DZ. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And we're speaking about the star 1 process for muting your phone rather than just your own handheld mute circumstances, because it still interferes with technology otherwise. Thank you so much for that consideration. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. We're on page 20. I'm going to unpack paragraph 2 today that starts with, it is the purpose of this book. And I'm going to ask Sherry KB to open us up by reading that paragraph and talking about the directions and her experience. Thank you, Sherry. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Sherry KB, grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. It is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. We shall tell you what we have done. Before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points as we see them. I'm just going to put myself on a timer there. So what I love about this book is that throughout the entire book, it's repeating itself a lot, and I need to hear it because I am a true compulsive overeater. And it's telling me here that, you know, it's going to show me a way out, and that the purpose of this book specifically is for me to get unblocked, to get connected to a power greater than myself. And what's that going to detail? What am I going to have to do to get unblocked? Well, I've got to follow the instructions in this book because it's going to show me that I need to not only put the food down, but I need to put my self-will down also, because I've been around the rooms a long time, and, you know, I had my own prejudices about this book when I started. And I just didn't think it had anything I wanted. You know, I really was kind of prejudiced against this book. And then, you know, I had to go through decades of a lot of pain and suffering and self-will run riot kind of behavior. And what it's telling me here is that, you know, if you want to follow the instructions in this book, you will get recovered. And I wanted, I thought, gosh, sign me up. But, you know, all the years that I read the book, because of my own self-will, I wasn't using the proper use of the will. I didn't pay attention to what these pages were telling me. And what it does do is it's showing me how I can get recovered. But I have to follow these instructions specifically and precisely. And so even in pages Roman numeral 13 and on page 45, it talks about what it is, what is the purpose of this book. And for me, it is to connect with a higher power, to set my self-will aside, to go through the step work, to get recovered, and to help others. And that I'm a true compulsive overeater, so in order for me to stay recovered, I have to have my nose face down in this book the way I used to have my nose face down in the food. I'm just changing courses in my life that are amazing, actually. And the things that come about in this book are miraculous to me. But I needed to set aside my old ideas. I needed to get someone who had depth and weight, who had been through this book. And the important part for me was to stay teachable and to be open to a power greater than myself, because that's what it's all about. For me, it was connecting with a power greater than myself to get unblocked. In other words, I had to lay down the food to get unblocked. I had to go through the steps to get unblocked so that I could connect with my higher power. And that I need to stay in this book by taking other people through the big book and living in 10, 11, and 12. And so that's how I can stay unblocked. And this book continues to repeat itself, which I need to hear, because I have they talk about it on page 24, that I can forget a week ago or a month ago about my own disease. And that's what my disease wants. My disease wants me to forget this. So they figured that one out and put out all this information through the book. And thank God for God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. The lines are now open for additional folks to comment on paragraph 2, page 20 of the big book, their experience, strength, and hope. I'm ready to take some names.
Marissa E.
Hi, Marissa.
D. Aaron D.
Donna. Did you say Aaron D?
Aaron D, yes.
Got it. Thanks very much.
Linda D.
Linda D.
Kathy W.
Kathy W.
Sandy, yes.
And Sandy, yes. That'll take care of that particular lineup for this first bit. And I have Marissa, Donna, Aaron, Linda, Kathy, and Sandy. Good morning again, Marissa. You're up.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E., a recovering compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. I just want to claim my seat. I had a relapse over the weekend. I'm grateful for 3 days of entire abstinence. And talking about the paragraph, right, is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. What questions, right? So I look right before that, and I see four, right? I see that I'm asking myself, why is it that I became so very ill from drinking? I'm curious how these people have recovered, why they have recovered, and what do I have to do? And I'm also seeing in this paragraph the words specifically and detailed, right? Those two stand out because it's not the purpose to answer such questions vaguely, right? They're not gonna, you know, before going into a discussion, no, it's a detailed discussion. It's not a general discussion. And so looking these up, right, as our the first reader said, right, these are exact, clear-cut, and precise instructions. These are full, complete, and all-inclusive. And yeah, I think too, just reflecting on what was going on with me, I was getting really vague. I was getting really general. I wasn't looking at the details. I wasn't looking at the specifics. And I see how my disease, right, being cunning, baffling, and powerful, it really took advantage of that. And so getting back to basics, right, getting back into the specific and precise instructions, it's just, right, that's what grounds me. And that's what grounds me in this program, is just opening this book and studying exactly what it says, looking in the dictionary to get even more details for myself, and following it, right? I see here too, the problem, right? So very ill from drinking. That's the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body, right? The spiritual experience is how and why they got recovered, and how to get that is working the steps, right? What do I have to do? I have to work this program. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity to share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Marissa E. Donna B., you're up, and then Aaron will follow you.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. I, too, wanted to focus on which question specifically this book is going to answer, but that was beautifully addressed. So I will move on to the next sentence, which is, we shall tell you what we've done. And I've heard it said that this is not a program for people who want it, or even a program for people who need it, but it is a program for people who are willing to do it. I'm very grateful that there are so many people in my face-to-face meetings and in my phone connections throughout the country that can tell me what they have done. And the promise of this book is that if I repeat exactly what others have done, there is a very inspiring likelihood that I will experience the recovery that they have recovered. One of the things that strikes me about the Big Book in general is that in the directions it provides, it is often followed, almost every direction is followed by, this is a beginning, this is a commencement, this is a start. So the actions are laid out with a subtle warning that it's just a beginning, and in that warning, a suggestion that whatever action that is, I must continue to do it for a lifetime. And with that, I want to share from Into Action. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Carry is an action. When I read this paragraph for the first time with a recovered sponsor, she told me that this sentence is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. It's constantly like walking up a down escalator. And it is with that degree of physical effort and intention that we need to continue the actions dictated or suggested in our book of recovery. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Aaron D., you're next, and then Linda will follow you.
Hi, this is Aaron D., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and much of what I wanted to say has already been said, but I think what I would like to emphasize, though, is something we read in the last statement of the paragraph. It may be well to summarize some points as we see them. You know, one of the great benefits that we have as compulsive overeaters is that we have the people who founded Alcoholics Anonymous who did a lot of work for us, you know, in helping preparing this text, based on their own experiences as alcoholics, you know. And there's a lot we can learn, and there's a lot of things that that we can take from this, and I think it's well summarized. The question, of course, is, as was stated before, is our willingness to look at this and to really kind of take in what's being offered for us, you know. But we have a great gift as compulsive overeaters in 2019, and that is the gift of this book that has been given to us by the founders of AA, and it summarizes a lot of helpful stuff that we can use in our own recovery.
Is that a pass, Erin? I'll take it as so. Okay, Linda D., you're next, and then Kathy W. will follow you.
Hi, this is Linda D., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I had a distraction when the reader was talking, so I hope I'm not going to repeat exactly what she said, but I wanted to focus on the last sentence as well. Before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points as we see them. So what are the points that are summarized in the next two paragraphs? The points that are summarized are basically descriptions of the various types of alcoholics, the moderate drinkers, the hard drinkers, and the real alcoholic. And the points that are summarized are the descriptions and the distinguishing features between them. So like many of us, I think that I can be impatient and impulsive in the paragraph before. You may already be asking, what do I have to do? Still anticipates that. What do I have to do? I just want to get right to it. I want to lose my weight, or I want to quit. But he's saying, wait now. We need to take a look at what's really happening here. And so when I went through with my sponsor, in the next few paragraphs, I got to learn what the different types of alcoholics were, compulsive eaters were, and I was challenged to ask myself, because we don't diagnose each other, we diagnose ourselves, what am I? Am I a moderate eater? Am I a hard eater? Or am I a real compulsive overeater? I really had no idea. I thought I was a real compulsive overeater, but it's whether we think we know or not, it's worth paying attention to these distinguishing characteristics. I, for one, overdid a lot of things. I overdid, well, as a child, my nickname from my mom was Linda Overdue, so that tells you something. No matter what I did, and mine is a disease of more food, more pot, more relationship, more everything. But I was able to, like a moderate drinker, give up many of these behaviors entirely because I had good reason for it. The eating was the last stop for me, was the last house on the block. And the other thing that I realized going through this with my first sponsor was that most of my eating history was not about eating. I'll share this with you because her observation was, wow, I'm struck by the depth of the spiritual malady that you experienced. I was shocked. I didn't think I had a spiritual malady. I thought I was doing fine. So I'm going to just wrap up by saying that this next few paragraphs that we're asked to wait and consider are very important in deciding whether we have this thing and whether we need this program and we're in the right place before we start to follow the specific instructions. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Linda D. Kathy W., you're up now, and then Sandy will come in after you.
Hi, this is Kathy W. in Colorado. And I'm still pretty new in the program, but just reading this is pretty reassuring that, like, when you kind of stumble into the line or you stumble into a meeting, you're in a very hopeless place. It's like you finally take step one, and it's good to admit it and, like, know what finally have the answer, like, what's wrong with me. But it's also very humbling and very kind of hopeless and sad because you're like, I'm screwed. What do I do? And so the answer is right here in this paragraph that you have to read the big book and you have to follow the steps, and it's still kind of overwhelming, but it's nice to know that there's finally an answer there, and to like see all the recovered people in meetings and hear all the recovered people in meetings, that's also very helpful, but it's still very overwhelming. So that's all I might have been recovering, and thank you all, Pax.
Thank you so much. Now we're looking for Sandy S., and then as soon as we hear from Sandy S., I'll open up the lines again for others to be able to comment on paragraph 2, page 20 of the big book. So get prepared. Hi, Sandy. Star 1, Sandy. Well, just in case we lost Sandy, in the interest of time, let's go ahead and open up to others that might want to comment on paragraph 2, page 20 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Shawnee B.
Hi, Shawnee. How about you just go ahead, and then we'll see what we can pick up in a minute. Go ahead. Thanks, Shawnee.
So, you know, it's interesting because this program, I guess more than anything in the world, I never thought that, you know, my obsession my whole life with my weight and my food and would have anything to do with a spiritual entity and, you know, enlarging my spiritual life and, you know, deflation of ego. Like, what was the connection? And, you know, I've kind of like, you know, when the last, you know, the last few words, what do I have to do? I'm still boggled till today, and I always will be, how our continuous seeking for our higher power in every aspect of our life. And I mean, that's work, you know, it's work, that surrender of, where am I, like, what is my part in this? What is, you know, my higher power telling me in this? And it's that constant work. That to me is the work of, you know, being like this, a food addict. Like, that is where I have to constantly have my head. And I realized something so incredible. It's beautiful. It's also a little overwhelming. Like the past, Sharer just said, you know, but it never stops. I kind of just thought, you know, so I'll be skinny and then I'll, you know, do this program. And yet there is always more to seek. There is always more there's always more, kind of more ego that comes up out of nowhere, you know, just in the best of circumstances. And I believe it's just truly my higher power constantly giving me the opportunity to build a deeper connection, to continue to grow. And on good days, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. I'm so excited for the challenge. And on tough days, I surrender and just say, please, higher power, give me the willingness to do this work, because today I'm tired. Today I'm just not up for it. And I think I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. The greatest gift I've been given is the gift of willingness. So thank you for allowing me to share, and thank you for your service.
Thanks, Shawnee B. We are on page 20 of the big book, and the chapter there is a solution. And paragraph 2 is our focus of study today. It is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. And we're going to open it up for additional people to comment about the directions in that particular paragraph. I can take some names.
Miriam Rifka H.
Miriam Rifka.
Janice P.M.
Freya H.
Janice P.M. Freya H. Mm-hmm.
Jordan L.
Hi, Jordan. Jordan L.
Hey, Mel.
The lineup that I have then so far, again, is Miriam Rifka H., Janice P.M., Freya H., and Jordan L. Let's go ahead and get going. Hi, Miriam Rifka.
Hi, thank you so much, Melanie. This is Miriam Ripka, H in New Jersey. This is the purpose of this book, and I love that we go through this book again and again and again, because there's certain little, you know, nuances that I might not have noticed or that I need to remember. And I'm reminded that this book has very specific instructions of how to get out of my problem. And it's the only instructions that I know of that work for my problem. And if I identify in with everything that's been said thus far, all I need to do, according to the book, is follow these instructions, and I'm going to get the result that everyone got. And for myself, especially when I first came in and I just really couldn't string any sort of any kind of abstinence together, and I remember really thinking that this might not work for me. It's just not working. I see it working for other people, but it's just not working for me. But yet at the same time, I kept hearing messages of, you know, if it works for me, it will work for you. And I guess I just wanted to get on the line and say that I have found that to be true. You know, I was here for like, I don't even know, it must have been at least a couple of years before I could even get any sort of abstinence together. And now looking back, you know, it may have been due to several factors, one of which I just really didn't fully concede that this was my real problem. I still kind of thought I was better than everyone else and could control it, amongst other things. But I want to really say that this has worked for me, even someone who thought that it never would. And it's a miracle today that I am, you know, we have Passover coming up, and I am preparing all kinds of food for my family. And I just went shopping yesterday, and I got a whole bunch of food that I never would have been able to control myself around. And it's insane because it's so neutral that I don't even realize that it's a miracle. Like it's just sitting on my shelf, and it has nothing to do with me. And that is what I've gotten from this program. And I'm so grateful for all of you to be being here day after day after day and doing this work together. And I just encourage, you know, if anyone out there is new or is struggling and thinks this might not work for them, I was there too, and it does work for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Miriam Rivka H. Janice PM, you're next, and then Freya will come in after you.
Oh, good morning to you, Melanie. I almost didn't unmute. I'm so interested in what everybody says. And thinking, of course, what my experiences, and this is what this paragraph's all about. You know, the people that penned this book had experience. They were alcoholics. They could have been compulsive overeaters, but they recovered. Now, what did they recover from? And it says here, it is the purpose of this book. The purpose with me, well, the problem with me is I was always doing what I wanted to do. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. See, it was my thinking that was the problem. But the purpose of this book is to tell me exactly what to do. Imagine, I don't even have to figure it out. But I've had it, I read it, and I still wanted to do what I wanted to do. That obstinate woman, that thinking, my thinking that, I don't have to do this. Well, it's like saying you have to go through 12 grades in order to graduate high school. But, I don't think I'll go to the third grade. You know, I'll just skip that one. And that was me all my life doing what I wanted to do. I had a sponsor that said, Janice, whatever you think you want to do, do the opposite. Because I always put my two cents in it. That's my disease. It was my thinking. My thinking that I could do better. Well, I'm the one that was still eating or still having trouble in my life, and still I thought that I could do better. Can you imagine how sick? But this purpose of this book is to find that power, because I didn't have any. I was unable. I was not able to follow directions. I always thought that I could do better. All right, no, I don't have to do that. I'll get the results by doing it this way. Guess what? I never did. Now, these are people that have already been through it. They wrote the book. They wrote the directions for me. And I still resisted and rebelled because that's my disease. That's my self-will. So we shall tell you what they have done. They've already done it, and they've already recovered. But you see, my mind didn't think like that. Well, gee, if they recovered, then I should do what they do. But no, but it wasn't until I decided, and you know, I just couldn't do anything else on my own because nothing ever worked for decades. And this is what, and it's really simple. I mean, it's so simple. I made it hard. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. Next up is Freya H, and then Jordan will follow her, and we'll have time probably after Jordan for a couple more shares. Hi, Freya.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. I'm amazed at your ears. you heard two names at the same time. This is Freya H. Really grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. And this, I love hearing the shares about this. And a couple of things jump out at me here. We shall tell you what we have done, meaning that's how this book is designed, that it's people sharing their experience, that this is what we did, and they're not, you know, they're not pushing it, but they are offering it, and they're using some pretty strong language because they're telling the truth. You know, they're not saying you must, or they're not saying you have to do this. There's so many places where it says, especially in the chapter working with others, you know, if someone's not interested, let them go their way. You know, don't force this on anyone. We have no monopoly on God. If someone wants to try it another way, you know, be friendly with them. But it's saying this is what we've done, and that if I want that, I get to follow in their example. It answers such questions specifically, but we have to see, you know, we have to look back at the previous paragraph for some context. And so it's, you know, all of those questions that as a newcomer, you know, like, why is it that this, why do I have this reaction? And especially, you know, what do I have to do? Like, how do I get over it too? And like so many other people have said, it's the purpose of this book to connect me to a power greater than myself. That's the essence of recovery. And for so long, I heard that and I saw that, but it was like too simple for me. And so even though the answer was kind of staring me in the face, I wasn't looking for that answer, so I wasn't able to see it. And then when I was able to kind of pare back from all the complication, because I really, you know, in this program particularly, it's easy to get complicated because the disease has so many different manifestations and we all have different allergies, and I can put so much energy in just trying to figure that out and fix that and, you know, trying to treat the symptom instead of getting down to the cause. So I just speak with compassion when I think about all the time put into what's my food plan and what's, you know, what are my boundaries around eating, et cetera. And because it is really important, but if I stay there, I never get into the solution. I just always stay into treating the symptom. So the simplicity of this is what we have done and this is the purpose of the book. And as I go, you know, as I've gone through the steps the last couple of times using this book, I have, you know, my sponsors have encouraged me and reminded me, you know, but at this point, thank you. At this point, this is about a relationship with God, and God is going to direct you in this. And it's kind of like a leap of faith of like, oh, I don't need all this external stuff. I rely on God, and I don't do it myself, but that's what it's about. And it's beautiful and simple, and it really does work. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya. That's Freya H. Jordan L., you're next. And then as I was indicating, I think there's going to be time for a couple more people after you. Hi, Jordan.
Good morning, Mel. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. grateful to be on the line this morning. Glad all you guys showed up too. So there is that line, what do I have to do, right? So this time, going through the steps this time around, one of my big book teachers or mentors or whatever you want to call it was Joe and Charlie. Actually, Joe and Charlie were the first two big book teachers that I have ever heard referred to there is a solution as part of step two. I had always thought of, I've been reading the big book for a long time now, and I had always thought of the doctor's opinion and Bill's story, and there is a solution, more about alcoholism, were all step one. and you didn't get into step two until you started talking about God and we agnostics. And Joe and Charlie, this time around, they introduced this idea to me that there is a solution as the start of step two. And there is a solution. We start talking about the fellowship and a power greater than ourselves is this fellowship, right? And so this idea of what do I have to do, I remember pretty distinctly when I got to that point with food. down crying, like sobbing hysterically. I have my boyfriend as a witness because I knew that I was letting go of the food. I knew that I was letting go of the one and only friend I had ever been able to count on no matter what. And I knew what that was going to look like. Or I had some semblance of it because I had gotten sober 8 years before that. I knew what that was going to mean, and I knew that it wasn't just making outreach calls or you know, writing in my journal or anything like that. Like, I knew that it was going to take an act of God to get me abstinent, or to keep me abstinent, I should say. I can get me abstinent. The problem is I can't keep me abstinent. So it was going to take an act of God, and it was going to take me calling other compulsive overeaters and being as brutally honest with them as I was capable of being. Not just outreach calls, like really calling them and really really starting to depend on this fellowship until I found a dependence on a higher power that was gonna be enough, basically, you know? So I'll wrap it up. That paragraph, this idea of what do I have to do, and these being the precise instructions, when I got to that point where I was like, what do I have to do, and these being the precise instructions, it was so comforting to have that at that point, because I was a friggin' mess, and I knew that it was going to take an act of God, and like, Here it is. Here's your precise instructions for an act of God. So anyway, I'm super grateful for this book and this fellowship. I'll pass.
Thanks, Jordan. Looks like there's time for two people to share for 2 minutes each. Anyone else would like to take that opportunity?
Michelle.
Sandy, yes, returning.
This is Hodia.
And Wendy. Hi, thanks. Okay, I got Michelle and Wendy. Michelle, go ahead.
Thank you very much, moderator. I'm very grateful to be allowed to share at this meeting. I know kind of, you know, at first I will echo what I heard earlier in the meeting. I was like, really? We got to go over this again? Yeah, I'm ready. What do I have to do? I'm not a very patient person. But I think that we're getting ready to address that Greek chorus that's in all of our heads. You know, this is all the people we've taken with us who say things like, why don't you push yourself away from the table? You know, you could stop if you wanted to. Because those people are part of why our minds slam shut when we're given such an extreme choice as a spiritual solution. My father definitely felt that way. And it's real easy for us to go back to that because, you know, it's ingrained in us. And so also it's going to make clear here, absolutely without a doubt, yes, alcoholism, addiction, food addiction is real. And here's what it looks like. And so, you know, I at first I was like, why are we stopping at this paragraph? But I think that's why we're doing this, is to just give everybody, particularly those that are not reading this because they're going to go through the program, but because somebody asked them to, absolutely no doubt what addiction is and what it looks like. And I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. Wendy M., you're next.
Good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful to be on the line. Thank you all for being here. And Mel, thanks for your service today. I can't tell you how exciting it is to be on the line right now and just to share hope, really experience strength, but hope. Thank God somebody came to me and said, you're just going to do the directions. Whatever I say, you're going to do them. And thank God I took myself out of the equation, right? Because I had so many ways, so many loopholes, so many justifications for behavior, for picking up the food, all of it, you know. And if you are having trouble with the food, I'm happy to talk to you because it was quite simple, right? I just got entirely abstinent. I let go of all of my alcoholic foods and behaviors, and I became neutral within days of starting this. I mean, it was simple, but the miracle was that I got out of self, that it wasn't going to be Wendy's program anymore, right? It's going to be the program that my sponsor is offering to me, and if I want what she has, I'm going to do what she did, you know. And today I have relief. I don't want my alcoholic foods, and you know, I set boundaries every morning when I weigh and measure my food, when I put it in my pack so I've got my food for the day. I've got freedom from the obsession, freedom from myself, which is really the freedom that I want. And then when I'm free from myself, I can be of service and useful to others. And the boundaries around the food are just the beginning, right? So I'm experiencing boundaries with my behavior. Do I have to share absolutely everything that's inside of me to everybody that I meet, right? It's wait, why am I talking? You know, I don't have to. I can keep things to myself. I can be more boundaried, and it feels fabulous. It feels freeing. You know, you don't need to know everything about me. I don't need to eat all the foods on the shelf. I just don't. And when I have those boundaries, whether they're with the food or with people, places, and things, I feel better. I feel free. I don't have to give away everything, my arms, my legs, everything. I don't owe anymore to people. And it's just a fabulous, fabulous freedom that I'm getting that I've never had before. I thought I owed you guys everything. I thought that, you know, I thought boundaryless was love. I thought, you know, love was absolutely merging with each of you, right, without boundaries. And the food is about boundaries, right? The recovery to me is about boundaries. And then it's about that inner knowing, that trusting of myself. Do I really need to give this person X, Y, and Z? I don't. I can keep things to myself. Just like the food, weighed and measured, is freedom, right? It doesn't seem like it, but it is. And each time I let go of self and I'm into other, and how are you, and how can I be compassionate towards you, I get more freedom. I get more relief from the bondage of self and more connection with my higher power. And it is a blissful feeling. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy. And that brings us to the end of our sharing time today, because we just like have a minute or so left, and we might be able to just dedicate that to getting newcomers' names and sponsor contact information and announcements, if you all agree to that. So thank you so much for all those that shared and those particularly that made this meeting possible. As you can see, it takes quite a few of us to make this meeting up and sharp and ready to go. So what I'd like to do now is to let you know that we're going to greet newcomers after the closing here and that various other things. But would Linda D. please read the closing on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Linda D., recovered in Wilmington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.